991FMTalk.com is where you can find us on the World Wide Web. You can stream us live there anytime by clicking the Listen Live tab. And if you want to listen to this episode, you can anytime after about an hour at the end of this episode. Producer Craig is going to post up this episode right there underneath
the podcast. Oh, sure. Put me on the spot.
Well, yeah, of course I'm going to put you on the spot. Another thing I'm going to put you on the spot as well for, Craig, you're taking phone calls down at our Carson City office right now for Bob Zaney tickets. If you would like to go and see comedian Bob Zaney, 8 p.m. tonight at the Carson Nugget, doors at 7:30. You can call or text 775-884-9910. Now, if you did text earlier, producer Craig, you're there with us, right?
Yes, I am. And I'm looking for information from the person with the last four digits of 2766. You did win tickets. I just need you to text me your information.
There we go. All right. So we've got the information going to him, and we have got more information with your Phil of Reno, Phil Galbraith, in the house with us this morning. Hello, Phil.
Hi there.
Hello. And of course, you know Phil from right here on 99.1 FM Talk, Monday through Friday. He does the traffic reports during the midday before I come in the afternoon and get you home.
They pay me to listen to Armstrong and Getty. This is
how bad is
dream
that?
Job.
Yeah, I was just going to say. And you know what? It's funny because when I found out that John was going to be on vacation, I'm sitting here going, who am I going to have on the show? I don't know. But you came to mind right away. Mm-hmm. And I told you what won you the spot, didn't I? I told you what won the spot on the show.
No.
Well, it was your turkey. It was the turkey drop line. Yeah, I'm sitting down there in Carson City at the turkey drop at Carson City Nissan. And of course, I hear Phil say, yeah, drop by and give Jay Biggs the bird. Right. And I said, okay, the guy's won his spot on the show. So anyways, very well deserved.
Thank you.
But, you know, listen, you're a Reno historian.
I am.
And this is why I wanted to have you on with us this morning, is to talk about what you, you know, like, know about Reno that might be interesting for folks that, let's say, are brand new to Reno. Because, like, half of the people that live in this town now have moved here in the last, like, 10 years.
Right. Yes, I know. And Reno, to let you know, got its name from a Civil War general. Jesse Lee Reno.
I didn't know that.
He was killed in the Battle of Round Mountain during the Civil War. And he also fought in the Mexican War. I don't know if General Reno ever came to this area or not. I don't think he did. But when they needed a name for the new town, they were going to call it Lakes Crossing.
Lakes Crossing, Nevada?
Lakes Crossing. Yeah, I'll get to that in just a second.
Could have been good.
But it was too long for railroad maps at the time. Reno was born out of the Transcontinental Railroad. That's where Reno really took off and survived, because of the Transcontinental Railroad. And Lakes Crossing would have been too long. So they found the name of a past Civil War general with a nice four-letter long name.
And that's how this came to be?
That's how it came to be. And they even mispronounced his name. His name is actually pronounced Reno.
Really?
But that's how Reno got its name, after a Civil War general.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I had no clue. Now, hold on. There's also, you were telling me, actually, your nephew, who's here in the studio with us this morning.
Captain Connor, right over there.
Yeah, Captain Connor. He keeps things afloat at Chewy.com, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So he was telling me that there's a Civil War tree?
That's what I call it. That's a bit of a misnomer. On Lake Street, at 9th Street, across the street from the stairs that lead up to UNR, is this huge pine-looking tree.
You said this is at 9th and Lake?
Yeah, 9th and Lake Street.
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. Across the street from UNR is a huge, tall tree that they planted to commemorate war veterans. They had a huge celebration that weekend. I want to say 1911. I wish I'd checked that before I came. But there's a historical marker. It's got all the information. And what they did to honor the Civil War veterans of Reno, and there were a bunch, they got some dirt from Civil War battlefields back east and then in the south. They brought all of that dirt to this spot there at 9th and Lake, and they planted a tree in that Civil War battlefield dirt.
Oh, wow. That's actually from different battlefields?
Yes, and that's what the soil that started it is right still there to this day.
That is so cool. I mean, I almost want to go and sit underneath the tree and get some shade in the summer.
The tree's
got to
be 60 feet tall.
Is it at Evans Park?
Right there at the corner, yes.
Okay, I'm looking at it
right now. Northwest corner.
Yeah. I'm taking a look at it right now. That's crazy. Okay. Well, there you go. I had no clue about that. And that tree is huge. Take a look at it. And you can go on Google.com, Google Maps, of course, and take a look at that. Or you can just drive on by. It's right here in Reno, dang it.
I wouldn't recommend it today.
What's going on today?
They are building an archway over 9th Street right there by the tree, as a matter of fact. Well, they're putting in they tore down, and I'm not happy about this, they tore down a bunch of 100-year-old homes to expand UNR southward across 9th Street. They put in a parking garage, and they're putting in a arch, not an arch, but a pedestrian bridge over the street so students can get across 9th Street safely. Right. And it's down to one lane. It's full of construction. I wouldn't recommend going there for a couple of months.
Phil, with they paved paradise and put up parking lot.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
hey, guys. All right. The thing with that overpass, too, the one at Audi and Silverado, how many people have you seen use that one in the past 40 years since it was built? Almost nobody. They still take the sidewalk.
It's faster. It's so much faster.
I think they gave away a prize to the 100th person to actually cross it.
they should have.
Well, they're still waiting for that person.
Right. I was just going to say, do we even know? Like, is I think there is another pedestrian bridge or something that's going up here in Reno right now, I believe. Maybe I'm wrong. They were looking for someone to paint the mural on it or something, or
I don't know. I'll have to look.
I'll have to do that too. I don't know. Either way, all I'm happy about is that even though they're doing a lot of that construction there in that area at UNR, they left Jimmy John's.
that was the only piece of land they didn't own.
Yeah, and it's so odd when you see a lot of these homes, you know, mm-hmm. where people, you can just tell they did not want to sell.
Yes.
Like, no matter what.
Absolutely.
You know, it was almost like that. What was that mansion there on the south end of, where the Reno Sparks Convention Center is? They eventually picked it up
mansion?
And moved it somewhere.
That's the Lake Mansion.
Yeah.
They put that over off Court Street now, and that's got a lot of history into itself.
Right.
Our town was founded technically by a man named Myron Charles Lake. That's where Lake Street comes from. Is that named after him?
Or Lake's Crossing.
Exactly.
That makes more sense. We really... We should have just called it Lake Nevada.
When Connor and his mother first moved to Reno in 2013, she was driving around. She'd never been here, aside from what's on Virginia Street as a tourist. And she was just driving around, checking out her whole new home. And she came across Lake Street. And she looked at that and said, "Great! We'll go fishing! We can go swimming! I'll go ask her where the lake is!" She was disappointed when I had to tell her how that street got its name.
You didn't introduce her to the landfill in Sparks?
No. So, I mean, Helms Pit, yes.
Right. Sparks Marina.
I have a bit of a thing with Sparks. Remember, Reno spelled backwards is honor. Sparks spelled backwards is scrap.
Oh, wow. Listen, to Salty Phil. that's pretty funny, man, actually. Now, you talk about the railroads.
Yes.
Here's something that folks might not know. I always thought was really cool to know when I moved here to town, was that Sparks didn't, am I right? It used to be Wadsworth or something. What?
The railroad had a huge train station in what is now Wadsworth, and they called it Wadsworth at the time.
Right.
That's where they would service their trains, do maintenance, the real big stuff with those steam-driven locomotives.
Right, but it was just so far out east.
It was almost 30 miles away. Very inconvenient, especially in an era where there were no cars.
Right.
So they decided to bring it closer to Reno. Not in Reno, because Reno was getting too busy. So they put it just east of town. They were going to call it East Reno, as a matter of fact. But they called it Sparks after the governor at the time in 1905. And instead of building a new town, they moved the old one. They put houses on flat cars, on trains, trees, all the buildings.
Trees?
Trees. And they brought them all up here, took them off. They sold lots and created the town of Sparks by moving it from Wadsworth.
Well, okay. Now, hold on, because I've been out to Wadsworth,
mm-hmm.
and there's stuff out there now. Did some people just say, no, I'm not moving? Or did they relocate? Like, there was people that said, okay, there used to be a town here. Let's relocate here. Or, like... How did that come to be? Because there's trees out there now and all that kind of stuff, too.
They regrew it out there, obviously.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But there was no real town community out there. You know, they had a small gathering of
people. That really cool schoolhouse that burned down a few years back, right. Unfortunately, that was creepy. That was one of the coolest places in Nevada, honestly. I love that old schoolhouse.
But Wadsworth didn't have heart.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of connection there. You had heart in Reno. Reno was the heart of this state for a long time. But you just didn't have it in Wadsworth, so moving it was easy. It was also a lot more convenient for the people who were formerly living out there to come to the industrial center or the center where all the stuff was.
But again, why trees? Why stuff like that? I mean, I get maybe the houses and stuff like, you know, like, because those were probably back then were like those, like, Robux houses, right?
Or that's here. Exactly
yeah,
right.
Frame houses that could just pick up and move.
Okay.
Couldn't do that today.
So that makes sense because conductor flats, that's what a lot of those houses are.
Exactly.
That's why they're all small.
Right.
In that portion between, like, 80 and let's just say Glendale or what Baldini's,
mm-hmm.
right
yeah.
there on Rock.
Yeah,
all those small, absolutely. Tiny little homes. If you ever seen those, and you're like, why are they so small? Well, that's pretty much why. That was Conductor Flats. So, wow, interesting there, man. You know, let me get off on a quick little just a side story. We're just talking about things
Please.
Here in Reno that are interesting. Maybe you know something about this because so I used to live there in Conductor Flats. That's mm-hmm. how I knew about that. But right at the very end, I used to live on Shaber Avenue. Are you familiar? You know where
Shaber.
Landrum's? You
yeah.
know where Landrum's was, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
On Rock?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like let's say you just go west. Off a rock in behind Landrum's, basically towards there's, I believe, Granite Construction or somebody has like a big yard over there where they.
Okay.
Anyways,
yeah, I know that area.
On 21st Street, back behind there, between there and the mental hospital,
mm-hmm.
There used to be a little park. Now it's no longer a park. It's no longer a park. It's fenced off. Do you know why that is?
No, I don't.
Because this was, maybe
no,
it's about 10 years ago or so, there was a city worker over there. They were doing some digging, some excavating, or something like that. You know now, don't you?
Yeah, I bet they found a body from the...
They found a bag of bones.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they left them there on the side of the road. And I used to take my kids, when I first adopted them, and my dogs over to this little park to play. Turns out the dang thing is an Indian burial cemetery. I'm like, what? I mean, it's really like a horror film or something like that. But when I found out about that, it blew my mind. Do you know anything about that?
The Indian cemetery aspect, no, but I can tell you the mental hospital out there, that's not the first one that was there. They were going to build a prison there. But the first prison, but they decided to build that in Carson City instead, and they went. And they had it started, and they made it into the mental hospital. And unfortunately, I can't go into a whole lot of detail because that's
right.
not exactly my forte, but there were a lot of bad, ill-treated people.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So
facility. And
one thing.
Go ahead, please.
We've been talking about Lakes Crossing. That was the up there on the Nevada Mental Health Institute property. That was the more restrictive portion. Was called Lakes Crossing.
Yes, it was. Yeah, unfortunately, this town had a lot of racism in its history, and that was the east side. That's where minorities were allowed to congregate back then, unfortunately.
Allowed. That's ridiculous.
There used to be signs in Reno storefronts until at least the 40s. No N-words or chinks.
Wow.
Right there at the door. It was awful.
Oh, my gosh.
They did have their own casino, though.
Well, you know, when I lived in downtown Kansas City growing up, the Memorial Hall downtown where Truman made his big speech, that has swastikas on it. Like, literally on the building is swastikas in stone.
Are they swastikas for the Nazis, or are they swastikas from the...
Well, that's the thing. I know, from the natives.
Right. Well,
yeah.
The 1925... Pardon me for diverting us for a moment.
No, we're good.
The 1925... UNR yearbook is loaded with swastikas all over the place. Had nothing to do with Nazi Germany or any of that stuff. It was a peace symbol that was intended to be very nice.
I'm surprised BLM hasn't burned the whole university down by now.
The thing about the swastikas is there's four different versions. There's the straight up and down with the things, the bottom one leaning to the going to the right. There's straight up and down going to the left. There's diagonal with the tongs pointing off to one side, and then there's one that's the tongs pointing off to the other side, still diagonal. So there's four different versions, and when somebody sees one, they jump to a conclusion that they're all related Nazi. That's the problem.
Which one's your favorite filter?
I have to go with the tilted one.
Okay, there we go.
It's got more flow. I'm so full of it.
Right, I guess so. It's like the Truckee River.
He's so full of it, yes.
He's so full of it. Oh, my gosh. Honestly, you know, this is great, man. I mean, I know John would probably love to be here and throw in some old-time Reno stories, you know, because I know Jesus signed his yearbook and all. But you know, but honestly, I mean, this is cool. I've wanted to have you on for so long because you just know so much about town. And I've just been like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't want to, like, sit here and talk about how Reno was because, oh, I wish that we would do this still and we did this and that. Because, listen, everything progresses and moves forward,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, it does.
But it's good to know some really cool, like, interesting key things about your town that you live in. Mm-hmm. And this is why I wanted to bring you on is because I knew that maybe somehow we could tie in these stories. And it's funny, that speaking of tying in stories, I'm looking right now on Google Earth at the playground where my kids used to play, and now it's a memorial. There's like a memorial thing, but as I hit the street view here and I go back to 2011, as you can see, it's a playground. Mm-hmm. So it's funny. I can't believe it, man. There's so much about this town that people need to know. We could probably have you on weekly. and not run out of things to talk about. Now, let me ask you this. I mean, what's the best advice that you could give someone that's moving here from exporting here from California or anywhere necessarily? Right. And again, I want to say this out there and put this out there. I know there's a lot of Nevadans who are like, don't Californianize my Nevada and all that stuff. I get it. Please don't. You need to understand the majority, 9 out of 10 of these Californians that are coming over here are trying to escape the BS that's going on over there. They are not absolutely these people that are trying to come over here and turn Nevada gay, okay? Or well, you know, like whatever it is they're trying to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What I think the assumption is, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's not, that's not the case.
No.
It's not. Most of these people are literally trying to escape what's going on over there, and I don't blame them.
No,
and as long as they
either
come here with the best of intentions, you know, it's just like, let's talk about this. It's like when someone comes here from Mexico, you know, and it's like, that's great, you know, but, you know, if I moved to Mexico, I would probably have to learn English, Spanish,
absolutely,
so I could live down there. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts, you know. It's like, when you move here, that's okay. Don't try to make me speak Spanish. Learn English. You're in the United States now.
Be proud of where you're from, but you're in Nevada now.
Yes.
You're a Nevadan. Live like one.
What's some good advice you could give somebody that's an export here? That's what I was pretty much...
For someone who just moved here, if you get lost while you're driving, just keep driving. Just keep going around. Eventually hit McCarran or Virginia, and you can find your way home.
Yeah. Oh, that's... You know what? That's true, because your north or south is Virginia or 395.
Right.
And pretty much your circle around is McCarran. Mm-hmm.
And the second piece of advice I would give to somebody who just came here is to go to Midtown. Midtown is a beautiful, eclectic mix of different businesses in historic buildings. So you get both flavors.
You know what? Today is probably the best day possible for those folks to go out
because
it is Small Business Saturday.
Exactly. Precisely.
You know, and I did want to touch on that. There's a lot of businesses out there that listen to 99.1. They're like-minded, like a lot of our listeners, and we would love for you to shop and go out there and help out these people, because, you know, here's the thing. We want to try to keep, I don't want to say I'm ashamed, because I'm not ashamed to save money, but I don't always shop at small businesses.
No,
I do go to places like Walmart,
right,
Target.
You have to.
Right. But, you know, it's just because I want to save myself money, you know. But the thing is that, you know, you can still get out and find some products where it's, like, localized, or you can't find them anywhere else.
When I go for coffee, I go to Superstitions Java in the North Valley.
You know what? On Uber, just the other day, I dropped a girl off that works there. I never even knew about that place, that it existed. Superstitions Java.
It's great.
It's right by in front of the Walmart, right? Not the Walmart.
No,
but
it's over there by Wendy's and the gas station.
Yes, it's just past there on Golden.
Yeah, Golden.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah.
So, I didn't even know that place was Superstitions Java. There's a brand new spot I didn't even know that existed. You could go and spend some money there. So Producer Craig, you got any small businesses?
I have a few that might be included in this next commercial break, which we're very late for taking. So,
oh, good grief.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I guess we are. All right. Well, okay. Well, thanks for reining me in on this one. We're talking too much right here. It's Live and Local with Jay and Phil this morning right here, and producer Craig, 99.1 FM Talk. We'll be right back.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
99.1 FM Talk, Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3, Live and Local with Jay Biggs. Phil Galbraith right here with me alongside John Potter is on vacation, but we are going to take a look at traffic real quick, and this is going to be a dueling traffic report right here, Phil. No. Yeah, I know. Ahern Reynolds Hardware and Supply, the Carson Valley's favorite hardware store, is your source for barbecues and barbecue tackle. And you know I'm going to probably head down there and get some because I love my barbecue being from Kansas City. Get ready. Gear up for fall with yard necessities and rugged Carhartt clothing, Ahern Rentals Hardware and Supply. Now, as far as taking a look at traffic, great news. No accidents to report here in Northern Nevada. Now, not the same story over in Northern California. Central Truckee CHP right now says we have a non-injury collision. This is involving a car and a big rig 80 eastbound at the Donner Pass Road off-ramp. That's eastbound heading towards us in Truckee there. Also, 80 eastbound at Floriston Way on-ramp, there's a minor injury collision. And it looks like that's just investigational work, so it shouldn't cause much of a delay between Truckee and Reno. So that's some good news, right, Phil?
It is. If you're traveling to California, hold off a couple hours, go to the Gold and Silver, get some bacon and eggs, and just wait for those to clear up before you head on home.
Now, let me ask you this. Is the Gold and Silver still going to be here? Aren't they set to close?
They maintain, don't get me started on them, they maintain they're going to keep it open, but I'm not optimistic. I'm really not.
Well, you know, there's a lady that works there, and you would not believe this, but she literally still works there, and she was there the night that my mom went to the hospital to, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, I forget her name, but I've seen her every time I go in there, obviously, mm-hmm. So. But, God, Gold and Silver, man, that was the first restaurant someone ever took me to here in Reno, ever.
Oh, really?
First time ever. Yeah, so you didn't grow up here, right?
No, I came here October 2nd, 1994. I was living in Chico. I grew up in Vacaville.
Okay, so after you were done over in Chico doing your thing and you came here, what was the reason that brought you here? Was it a job?
It was not so much a job, it was a lack of job in Chico.
Oh, well, that makes sense, unless you work at the university or something.
Exactly. They are the epitome of a college town, I'll tell you. Not a bad community. It's just a college town, and I was going nowhere.
Feel free to Google the STD capital of the United States. It is Chico.
Is it really?
Weird. Yeah, it's really funny, but that's a true statement.
Well, that's an interesting thing because my mother used to work at Enloe Hospital in Chico. That concerns me now.
I guess so. I guess she's got a lot of stories she could probably tell you try to avoid. Oh, boy. All right, well, so what was your first experience in Reno? Do you remember your very first time ever? Coming, like, when you crested the mountain and you saw Reno, what did you go and
do? My first memory from Reno is from 1975. We were on a family vacation. I was living in Vacaville. I was about 7-8 years old. And we were going across the country on 80 to visit my uncle in Michigan. And we stopped in Reno, I think, at the Gold and Silver. I can't be sure of that. But I think we were at the Gold and Silver for lunch and to get gas. That's my first memory of Reno.
And, you know, mine... there was an old skit on In Living Color back in the day, and I forget the skit, but there was like they basically showed a picture of Reno on it with all the lights, and I remember thinking to myself, driving on the Greyhound bus coming from Kansas City, Missouri, coming here, and I was driving west on the 80, and you go around those turns, and right as you come into Reno, you see the Alamo sign and all that kind of stuff, you know, and that's the exact picture that they showed on In Living Color. I remember going, oh, this is great. This is exactly what I remember. But that was my first time ever being here in Reno. So
let me interrupt you a second. If we don't go to the bottom of the hour break, our boss is going to have our heads.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know.
We could talk like this for a year.
So is Craig. All right, let's get out of here. Fox News time right here on 99.1 FM Talk. Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3.
The easiest way to remember us is just 99.1 FM Talk.
It's live and it is local with typically John and Jay, but it's just Jay Biggs this morning. John is on vacation. I want to thank everybody for joining me, all the ladies and gentlemen that have been listening this morning, and anyone I might have offended by only saying those two genders. We do still have some Bob Zaney tickets. If you would like to go and see him tonight at the Carson Nugget, you can check him out at 8 p.m. And if you want to go ahead and give producer Craig a jingle right now or a text at 775-884-9910, he does have a pair of tickets waiting for you right now to go and see comedian Bob Zaney at the Carson Nugget at 8 p.m. tonight. But somebody else who thinks he's a comedian for sure with his radio nymph jokes this morning is Phil Galbraith, who is typically our traffic reporter, yes. Monday through Friday, right here from, is it 9 a.m. or 10 a.m.?
You do. I start at about 9:15, and I'm on until 2:48.
Yeah, and that's when I come in.
Right.
Right there on the time. I love how you have those specific times. It's really just 9 to 3, Phil. You can
okay,
say
9
that.
To 3.
Yeah, 9 to 3. It's okay.
Well, I get here at 7:30.
Makes your shift look longer anyway.
Right.
Right. And it makes Craig look like he takes off earlier. That poor guy, he comes in so early.
He does.
Craig, and we're talking about Craig Swope. God bless his soul for waking up that early to hear the news and weather.
He works hard, too, I'll tell you.
Yeah, he is, man. He does it down from our Carson City offices. A lot of folks might not know Evans Broadcast here, our radio cluster. We have two offices, one in Carson City, which producer Craig runs a show out of each and every week. And then right here in Reno, our studio's on Plum across from the airport, which is where we broadcast live from. Every day of the week right here. So anyway, 991fmtalk.com. I want to encourage people to get over there. There's a wealth of information. You can find out about all of our shows. You can also get involved with our community. There's lots of people that post on there. Another thing you can do is you can always go and click the Listen Live tab at 991fmtalk.com on the top left upper screen, and you can stream us 24/7, 365. So there's literally no reason to not have us along with you at any time and get the information you need. Now, Phil.
Yes.
We've been getting our Phil of Reno this morning from you. let's keep you on. Looks like Brooke Westlake, unfortunately, not able to make it in this morning. So that's okay. We're going to keep you on. It's been fun so far. We haven't shut up, though.
No.
We've proved this by taking two very late commercial breaks. But producer Phil is going to keep us in line, and we've only got about 18 minutes, anyways.
Wow.
Yeah,
Where
I know.
Does
this
the
is
time
just
go, huh?
So he's producer now.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, producer Craig. See? Well, you know what? Last week it was producer Phil. Am I wrong?
No, not at all.
Well, see? I just got mixed up. It's all right. It happens. I'm not as forgetful as Brooke is, though. Anyway, that's a whole other story.
We're a tight-knit family.
Right. So either way, though, Phil, let's talk about this because, you know, sure. It's been interesting so far this morning to talk about things about Reno that people might not know that are new to town, because pretty much half of our population here in the Reno-Sparks area is brand new. And I think it's very important for us not to sit here and elaborate on all these things that were great before they came here, because there are great things that are always around, but times change.
You have to look forward.
Right.
And the way I look, you have to look forward, but you don't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that statement. So let's go ahead and just maybe, because you have a list of some things here that you wanted to touch on.
Yes.
And one of them I thought was really cool was our, I guess, divorce culture? Marriage and divorce culture
yes.
in Reno?
Yeah. You used to come to Reno to get a divorce.
I thought it was to get married.
That too. But back in the 20s and before, even into all the way to the 60s, quite frankly, getting a divorce wasn't as easy as it is today. Today, it's almost a fill-in-the-blank paperwork form thing.
Right.
But
well, it wasn't as easy for me. I wish it was.
Well, not emotionally. I'm talking about...
Don't laugh at me, Craig.
I'm talking about the legal aspect. You're going to the judge and getting it done. As a matter of fact, in the 1920s, in Canada, to get a divorce literally took an act of parliament. You had to go to the equivalent of the Canadian federal government to get approved for a divorce. And divorce laws in Nevada are older than the state itself. We had our first divorce laws when Nevada was a territory. And to qualify for a divorce in Nevada, you had to live here. You had to be a resident. And they bounced what required to be a resident around from 6 months to 3 months to what have you. In 1931, they made the requirement 6 weeks. If you lived in Nevada and didn't leave the state for 42 days, you became a resident of Nevada and you could get a divorce. And that's what kicked things off for Reno. Women were coming from all over the country because it was so hard in their state for them to get a badly needed or wanted divorce. So they started coming here for their 6 weeks, and we took off. Not only in the terms of being just getting the divorce and them spending their money here to do that, unless you were poor, then you went to Las Vegas. But it became a national curiosity, which put Reno on the map in that regard. Because we were out west. This is before television.
It wasn't just the movie Kingpin that made Reno a national oddity.
Oh, God, no. Oh.
No.
Let me go on the record. We never had the Jeffersons on ice. Never.
Okay, wow.
So one of the things that happened during the divorce period was that with all the women that were coming here for divorces, there was actually communities that were built specifically for them, one of which was down on what's now Damani Ranch, that area. There's still actually homes down there that were part of that. If you take the Neal Road exit and take the first turn on the roundabout into the Damani Ranch area, there's still homes out there. And Phil, there's one thing that I haven't heard you say what the ladies did when their divorce was granted.
Oh, that
does this have to do with something east of Sparks?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
It started off as he's talking about taking off your wedding ring at the Virginia Street Bridge, which is right in front of right by the courthouse, and throwing it in the river.
Which Marilyn Monroe apparently did that, right?
In the movie The Misfits, no. And a lot of women didn't do it, but an article in Life magazine said that they did, and the myth became real.
Oh,
and you had
okay.
the gold hunters, the treasure hunters.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Well,
not
just them, but you'd have young kids who were kind of smart in this regard. They'd go to Woolworth's, which was right on Virginia Street at first, a couple blocks from the river, and they'd buy these nickel or dime fake rings, fake gold looking.
I thought that
rings.
Was Ben Franklin's, the nickel and dime.
No, that was
I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm joking.
And they would take those things, they'd get into the Truckee River, be knee deep in water, and they'd pretend to find a ring, and tourists would buy it from them.
Oh,
they made
my
themselves
Lord.
Some nice money
I didn't
for
even
ice cream.
Think of it. That is such a great scam for someone just trying to come
Isn't
up
it?
On somebody. I mean, I wouldn't want to be scammed like that, but still. Oh, my gosh. That's insane. All right. We do have another break we ought to take, right?
Yes.
Producer Craig? All right. All right. Let's do that. Yeah. Yes. All right. Let's go ahead and do that. Hey, still, I just want to remind everybody, 775-884-9910. You want to go see Bob Zaney tonight at Carson Nugget? Well, it's that simple. Just call or text that number right now with your name, and we'll get you on the list to go and see Bob Zaney at the Carson Nugget at 8 p.m. Until then, we're going to be right back here live in local 99.1 FM Talk. And Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
It's live and it is local with Jay Biggs and John Potter, who is on vacation, but filling in for him, Phil Galbraith, and of course, producer Craig down in Carson City this morning. We are having some good conversation and more decisive conversation than the Nevada elections, that's for sure. you could say that.
Yes.
But man, I love, this morning has been fun. We've already had some callers. We've had some good conversation. You know, this is, it's a little bit different because John isn't here. Like I told you at the beginning of the show, I didn't want to give you news because I think mostly the news is full of it. I mean, of course, we're going to tell you as straight up as possible, and that's why I consider myself a news critic. but, you know, it's been kind of a different show this morning, I guess you could say, and just given some great opinions. I talked earlier about something that I thought was kind of interesting. Did you hear me talk about the dog kennels over on 2nd Street near the Walmart?
I did. Yes, I did.
Have you seen these things that I'm talking
not.
About?
I'm gonna check them. I have to go to do a little shopping after I get off here anyway.
It's right there, Three Nations Plaza. It looks literally like you've got these wolves in these small little kennels that are just too small for them. And I know that the fencing's literally just up so that they're not messed with until well, they're taken off and then someone graffitis them anyway. Right. But but I just thought it would be more realistic if they put pit bulls in there, and because that's what we got a lot of in that area anyways. There's a lot of like pit bulls and too small of cages.
Well, think of, you know, UNR and the wolf pack.
I get why it's there. I'm just saying, let's
At least they didn't put up a sagebrusher, which is what the mascot of UNR used to be.
Right. Well, we still have right, and that's the state flower, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The sage is. Yes.
So it's a great incorporation of the state flower with the sagebrush and the traffic cones there at 395 in Glendale. It really is a true inception of how our state is.
What I'm thinking, guys, is the reason that those fences are up right now is because what happened over at Rancho San Rafael with the two sheep being stolen off of their pads.
Well, no. What I think it is literally it's brand new, because I've been out Ubering the last few days and they're brand new. So I think that they're just not complete yet. Like, they just put them down and they're putting fencing up around them until the construction on them's complete. Like, they're bolted down or something like that, so people don't graffiti them before they're even ready, I guess. I don't know. That's my thought. But yeah, I can understand that, because there were some people that stole some sheep from the Basque Monument.
We were talking off air about this, and I hope it was just a college prank and those kids will give them back.
Right. This either way, whoever stole them, it was a bad idea.
Oh.
Is that really, of all the things that I said, is that the one that disgusted you the most?
I will not comment.
Okay, will not comment. Okay.
You.
Yeah, we could go on forever on this.
I've enjoyed my career until
now. Right. Jerry, yeah, we're all done. Jerry's going to call all of us in for a big meeting on Monday.
He's going to change formats to a Gagarin chant format.
Right, Gagarin chant? I don't even know what that is. It sounds like the language that the person spoke that hit John on his bicycle a few years ago. I forget what that was now, but there's...
Wasn't he Romanian?
No, there was some sort of language that the guy spoke that they could not find an interpreter for.
Gibberish.
Just, we know he just... Yeah, it was gibberish. There we go. All right. Is there anything? Oh, yeah. I wanted to touch on this. I'm just touching on some small things real quick I wanted to say. Motorcycle cops. You know, I'm seeing a lot of them out there right now. And I'm sorry, but it's like 20, 30 degrees outside. No wonder these guys are writing tickets, man. If I was a motorcycle cop right now, I'd be like, dude, give me a car with a heater.
That's why they gave them the little computers. They couldn't write anymore with the cold hands.
Right, maybe so. Maybe so, but
suits they plug into the bikes, and they're nice and toasty.
Oh, really?
Warm. Oh, yeah. Just like you can get with Harley Davidson or any of the others. Yeah, the motorcycle outfits. Yeah, they can well.
I did not know that you could do that.
Yeah. Helmets, gloves, legs, feet, all the way down to your toes.
Okay. Well, here I was thinking to myself, no wonder these guys are writing tickets right and left. Because if I had to be out on a motorcycle in this cold weather, I'd be upset too. seriously. It is Small Business Saturday. I want to encourage everybody to just, even if it's just one business that you want to go out and support and just buy something small or whatever, just get out and help them out. Obviously there's great deals at these big box stores and stuff, but you're going to find things that are, off the wall you won't find at these big box stores, and specialty items and all that. Just seriously, get out. Small Business Saturday. I want to say thank you. Last week we had Leah from Gear Hut on. They did the Green Friday cleanup yesterday, 11 a.m. Apparently that all went really well. Called them earlier. So kudos to Gear Hut. You're going to hear them on our ski reports. And by the way, we're going to keep you updated with ski reports throughout the season as well. Let me think here.
Don't forget, I think we still have a few Zany tickets to give
away. Yes, some Bob Zany tickets. 775-884-9910. Producer Craig is going to stay here until the last ticket is given away. So even if it takes till 4 this afternoon, he's still taking your call. 775-884-9910.
Don't laugh. I'm actually here because we have a Spectrum appointment this afternoon. Our window is from 2 to 3, so I could be here a while.
Wow. Okay, I wasn't joking. He really is going to be taking your calls. Okay, well, it's like a telethon. He's going to stay there until the last dang ticket's gone. 775-884-9910. Feel free to call or text him to get those Bob Zany tickets. What an insane week. That Colorado shooter. Non-binary.
Right.
Non-binary. Yeah. I guess that narrative went away really quick.
I can have an opinion
You can, yes, you're allowed to. You got 1 minute to have an opinion.
It's interesting to watch the national media coverage of Colorado and the University of Idaho. The University of, neither is wonderful, don't get me wrong, but the University of Idaho is being overshadowed because a gun was used, and it happened to, unfortunately, at an LGBT club. So that makes it a sexier story, so it gets much more coverage, and that, I have to say it from the national level, that just bothers me.
Oh, you think there's a gun narrative?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding?
Come on, man. This has been going on a long time. This is what I was talking about. Again, I love to bring it up. It's my favorite. You can call it a J-Biggs conspiracy theory or whatever, but bump stocks, 10-1 shooting, Harvest Festival, Route 91, Las Vegas. What did we talk about for weeks and months after that? Bump stocks, bump stocks, bump stocks. And, of course, good old Joe Lombardo is going to be in office. Closest thing we've got to a liberal as Republicans, so... Congrats, I guess, to everybody.
Oh, we'll keep an eye on him.
Oh, yeah. Well, believe me, I'm going to keep calling him out until he maybe calls in. That would be nice.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Phil, next week, we are going to have John back. He's going to be back from vacation, whatever he's doing. I'm not sure. He might even be doing a staycation. Either way, we're going to have you throughout the week listen to us. And, of course, make sure you always listen to 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley 92.3. Thank you for having us on your stereo.